We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrandt. Joining me, as always, over there in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how you doing?
I'm very excited. I am shot out of a cannon. I took a shower for the first time in 3 days. Excited for this concept. Excited to welcome back video into the fold for however long, because you're a handsome guy. On my better days, I approach handsome, I think, I'm told. So I'm excited to do this episode. I think we're gonna throw some haymakers, I hope. So I'm excited.
Throwing some haymakers, throwing some screwballs, some off-speed stuff, really just trying to keep each other off balance. I can't see you. I don't know what you're wearing. I'm wearing my standard fare gray shirt, but I've got a red Georgia hat on right now.
Oh, look at you. Yeah, I can't see you. We're recording this to cards. I am not wearing a hat. I'm wearing my glasses, and I have sort of a navy shirt with ping pong paddles. I guess you did beat me at ping pong, so I don't know. I'm wearing my defeat because I'm that confident.
I have a red Georgia hat on, which we will get to momentarily. But before we do, hello, welcome. Don't forget to follow the Solid Verbal across all of our social media channels. We are, of course, on Twitter and Facebook. And we've been trying to do more on Instagram, but we need people to follow us, Dan. They got to follow. If they want to get the content, they got to follow us. So it's Solid Verbal on Instagram. We have not branched out into other social platforms, at least not as of yet, which brings me to our next topic of interest. We are looking for a social media intern.
Yes, we absolutely are. Somebody with that sort of expertise and eye and sensibility.
Submissions@solidverbal.com. Submissions@solidverbal.com. We've had some folks write in already. We are looking to add another member to our team who can help with social media, looking for folks who have helped do this for other websites, for other businesses, for other entities. Send us an email and we'll fill you in on how you might be able to help the team. Submissions@solidverbal.com.
Can't wait to see where it rolls in. Yeah.
Do it now. Dan, what is the concept for this here show?
I don't know the name. We've tossed around a number of names like Recruiting Wars or College Pitch.
Yeah.
So this is an exercise we're going to do for, I think we're going to do a few of these, and we're going to start in the SEC, wherein you and I each select a school, and we, if we were in charge of pitching said school, if we were the head coach or the director of recruiting, something like that, if we were to craft a pitch to a top flight recruit, and we're going to be specific on this episode about which position, and we will each episode, how would we craft that pitch? And so today we are doing Alabama, who I'm representing, and you're representing Georgia, two schools who have put together absolute monster classes these past few years. You're talking about, in a lot of instances, 1A, 1B nationally, that Georgia has put together a recruiting behemoth, and of course Alabama continues to do so. And in order to determine a winner, I don't think it wouldn't be fair for either one of us to do so. I just think anybody listening should weigh in on who does a better and more thorough and more convincing job pitching, rather than where, in this case, a five-star quarterback should go.
Right.
So it's not a matter of like, you should definitely go to Georgia because of this reason that we didn't mention or something like that, or just your own opinion. It's who does a better job behind the mic today, you or me, convincing the universe that they should attend their represented school.
Okay, so let me pause.
We can go positive, we can go negative. You can think about your time playing the NCAA video game dynasty series and all those things. But it's just determining, you know, who, if we were to sell Alabama and Georgia, if we were to sell Oklahoma State, TCU, if we were to sell Oregon, USC, whatever, how would we do so?
Okay. So does this, what is the format? Let's establish the rules of engagement here.
Sure.
Does this work like a debate where one of us goes first? Are we interjecting? How are we going to do this?
I think each of us should have a chance to make a case without being interrupted.
Okay.
And then whether or not we stay positive or go negative, negative meaning obviously denigrating the other school, putting down the other school, and why a five-star quarterback shouldn't go to that school. I think the floor should be each of ours alone at the top. And then we should each be allowed to sort of cross-examine, I suppose, some of the points that we each make, and then just go back and forth from there.
Fair enough.
We should be yelling at each other and talking over each other unless it serves a purpose, which it probably doesn't. But I think we should each have the floor in order to like, okay, here's why it actually makes sense to go to Georgia if you're a five-star quarterback from Metro Atlanta. Or here's why.
We're not necessarily acting as official agents of the university. We're acting as almost third-party recruiters who have done
neither
the research.
One of us has, we don't have an affiliation to either Georgia or Alabama beyond you've been to Georgia, I've been to both, and we find both places to be alluring.
I drove through Tuscaloosa. I was to Ramajamas the one time I was in Tuscaloosa. So I consider myself a local, obviously. I would just say at the top here, kind of in the spirit of competition, because in the heat of battle, we don't know where this is going to go. I would ask that no one hold against me anything I say against the great state of Alabama.
Same.
Nor anything you say against the great state of Georgia.
None of what we are saying is necessarily how we feel personally or professionally, just how we would pitch if we were them.
If we were them.
So if you're an Alabama fan and Ty says something that rankles you, that sticks in your craw.
Yeah.
Don't think it's that Ty thinks that necessarily. He might. But this is how he's positioning Georgia to a recruit.
We're method acting is what we're doing here.
We are method acting. And you know what? At certain points, we could ask each other, wait, do you actually believe that? Do you actually? Like, we can do that. We can break character. We can break the fourth wall. That's all.
What is our recruit's name today? What is his deal? Who are we trying to bring to either Alabama or Georgia?
Right. So we're going to keep this current. So we're going to say this is a class of 2022, even though this is sort of after the QB dominoes have largely fallen in the class of 2022, because we want to keep it current as for coaches on staff right now, recent results and recent situations and current situations. So we're going to go with the name Gunnar Simpson, which is a combination of both Gunnar Stockton, a blue chip quarterback who's committed to Georgia, and Ty Simpson, a blue chip quarterback who's committed to Alabama. So we're bringing those two guys together. I think Ty Simpson's from Tennessee somewhere, and Gunnar Stockton is from Northeast Georgia, not in the greater Atlanta area.
Okay. Gunnar, classic Southern name, Gunnar Simpson is going to be our recruit. What do we know about him?
Gunnar Simpson has a big arm. I would almost say a combo of Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. Everything you want out of a quarterback, physically, mentally, arm strength, leadership. Like, if you were to craft a modern quarterback from the South, you are basically combining those two guys, right? So it's Every school is knocking on his door. He's getting 150 letters a day sent to his home. And you know, a terrific athlete, not necessarily high-end speed, not necessarily a pure dual threat, but he can move. Mm. And he is being compared to the best prospect since Andrew Luck. Because wow. That is a box you need to be checked if you are a top flight quarterback.
That could be a fantasy thing, by the way. Best Absolutely. Prospect since Andrew Luck. Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
Gunnar Simpson, 5-star, great thrower. He can move, not dual threat, not speedy, but he can move.
Correct. Yeah.
He can move.
I'd say 6'3.5", 205.
Okay. That's good size.
Yeah.
Good size. You also have this sound. I don't know where this fits in, but for what it's worth, you did a little Phineas with this, Dan. I like it. I like it.
This is the theme song to SNES College Football. I did not produce this. I appreciate the assumption, but that is not my voice as much as it sounds like me. That is just the SNES College Football. That's 16-bit audio right there.
Why don't you start? Why don't you start, Mr. Rubenstein? You have Alabama for the purposes right. of this thought exercise. And as yeah. you might guess, for those of you watching the video from my hat, I've got the Georgia Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm. This is quite easy for me. Alabama's the standard. Nick Saban is the standard. What Alabama produces on the field and on NFL draft opening night, the NFL draft's opening night, Thursday night, is the standard in the sport. It's cartoonishly the standard. You go to Alabama, you are going to be developed by the best. You are going to be in the winningest environment. You're going to be in the winningest culture. You are going to be in sterling facilities. You are going to be surrounded by players who are similarly competitive and driven and self-motivated to be the best, whatever position that they play. You are going to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where it's a school that attracts winners and develops winners and sends off winners. It's a no-brainer when you look at the coaches who have come through, especially the guy at the top, Nick Saban, the greatest coach in college football history. At this point, we can do a separate show if you'd like to debate that, but that's an incredibly difficult offering to be that guy who has to debate that point. Nick Saban is arguably the most successful coach across every sport currently right now. I mean, maybe short of Bill Belichick, who Nick Saban happened to have coached with and be developed by. And so it's the standard. It's you look at the rings, you look at the Heisman winners, you look at the NFL draft picks that, you know, what Alabama is able to do in terms of churning out every position into first round, second round, third round caliber picks. It's unmatched in the sport. You look at their success making the college football playoff, winning the college football playoff, modernizing both their defense and offense. In this case, we're talking about a historic offense. We're talking about the number one scoring efficiency offense of all time at 4.41 points per drive.
That was great.
They are on a streak of Broyles Award-winning offensive coordinators with both Mike Loxley and Steve Sarkisian, who are now head coaches at other Power 5 institutions. So Alabama's the standard. And I can go into more details. I'm sure I will. Obviously, there is a new offensive coordinator who will be coaching you, Bill O'Brien, who is one of the great quarterback minds in football right now, given his experience, not just in coaching somebody like Tom Brady, but also, how much money exactly did Bill O'Brien make Case Keenum? How many playoff appearances did he go to with substandard quarterbacks? And of course, what he was able to do with Deshaun Watson once the Texans drafted Deshaun Watson. We all know, we all see Deshaun Watson is one of the premier quarterbacks on the planet in the NFL. But Case Keenum, Brandon Weeden, Brian Hoyer, TJ Yates, Brock Osweiler, these were playoff quarterbacks developed into serviceable quarterbacks under Bill O'Brien and under nobody else. And you're entering into a system that has produced four first round receivers these past 2 years in Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Waddle, and Devontae Smith, a Heisman winning receiver in Devontae Smith. First round picks along the offensive line, high round picks along the offensive line. Name the college football award. An Alabama player has recently won it. Najee Harris just won the Doak. You'll be handing off to terrific running backs, playing quarterback behind the best line in college football, being coached by the best head coach of all time in college football, and surrounding yourself, even if you don't start right away, you'll be throwing against the best scout team in college football. The level of competition is unmatched on campus. If you play well in practice, you're not losing in the sport. Alabama is the obvious pick. If you are an obvious five-star, if you have obvious intentions of taking your talents to the NFL in 3 to 4 years, Alabama, once again, is the standard. The coaching tree is there across the sport. Jimbo Fisher, I mean, hell, Kirby Smart, who is a fantastic coach, is a branch on Nick Saban's coaching tree. That's not a piece of negative recruiting. That's just fact. He is a branch on Nick Saban's coaching tree. We have a Pac-12 champ, two-time champ in Mario Cristobal, former offensive coordinator, associate head coach. All over the sport, there is an element of Alabama that everybody covets. Every single program in America would pack their own head coach's bags for them to get Nick Saban. And Alabama happens to be the place that just extended Nick Saban through 2028. Not too bad.
So were you pitching to an 18-year-old? Because the 18-year-old fell asleep, Dan.
Fell asleep?
The 18-year-old.
That was like a two-minute pitch.
That was like 18 minutes. He fell asleep. We're pitching to an 18-year-old. That was a great recruiting pitch for 35-year-old, what's his name? Gunnar Simpson. 35-year-old Gunnar Simpson, who works in sports media, maybe as an affiliate for Phil Steele. He loved that pitch. He took notes. Maybe he recorded it. We're talking to an 18-year-old kid. He's got the world in front of him. The world, the football world, is his oyster. What I want to say is this. Every college in America right now wants your services. Here's what we know about the Georgia Bulldogs. We know that the Georgia Bulldogs have 32 players right now that are playing in the NFL. It's a very successful program. We know that since Kirby Smart came on this campus, the university has invested $173 million in upgrading our facilities. They're just taking the bubble wrap off a huge new renovation. Huge new renovation of their athletic facilities. By the time all is said and done, it's going to be 165,000 square feet, Dan. They are really ramping up efforts, even since I was there 10 years ago. This is going to be a state-of-the-art facility, unlike any other in college football. And, oh, by the way, this Georgia program is not built solely on one man. Every recruiting pitch I hear from a place like Alabama is Nick Saban this, Nick Saban that. Nick Saban is 69 years old. Not sure if you knew that. Kirby Smart, a Saban disciple, is 25 years younger. He's built here at Georgia what I think amounts to the early trappings of a dynasty. Come to Georgia, be the face of the program. Be the face of the program. Be the quarterback of the future for this program that can take the program to the next level, take this dynasty to the next level. If you go to Alabama, you're a puzzle piece. You plug and play, you fit in. You be whatever Nick Saban wants you to be in order to win a national championship. We're trying to win national championships here at Georgia. We're trying to get you into the NFL. We're obviously trying to mold your young mind so that you have a life outside of football whenever this whole grand experiment is over. But at the end of the day, we're trying to build something for the greater good. It is not based solely on one man. And why do all the work as the face of the program if you're not going to get the credit for it? The Patrick Stump paradox, Dan. Why do you want to be the lead singer doing all the work, getting all the numbers, leading your team to victory if you know that there's probably just going to be somebody else on your team who the media pays attention to more because it's Alabama? We don't want that for you. You don't want that for you. Come to Georgia, be the face of this program. Let's get you in the NFL and let's win a national championship. Full stop.
Yeah, I enjoyed all of the hypothetical selling points in the ether there. For Georgia, they're building a facility. You could be the face of a national championship program, whereas Georgia doesn't win national championships.
Georgia has
a facility.
Georgia hasn't won national championships recently.
Sure.
But yeah, if you talk to anybody in college football, anybody in the recruiting business, everybody will tell you that Georgia's close. Georgia's close. Kirby Smart was there in the very beginning with Nick Saban. If the entire Alabama recruiting pitch is built around Nick Saban, you can make a very good counterargument that Kirby Smart was there. He saw how it was done. He saw what Nick Saban did with regard to scouting, how he attracted talent, how he targeted the right talent for his system, also for the culture of his program. And I think we have seen very early returns on what Kirby Smart has done thus far.
Absolutely.
He's building the same thing.
Yeah. And if you go back and look at the number of times Kirby Smart has built that winning program to a point where they can beat Alabama, it's, again, hypothetical. They have yet to even beat Alabama on the field, let alone, I think you said 31 players in the NFL. Alabama's over 50. We're talking multiples now at this point, Ty.
Right.
So, no, if you want to live in the hypothetical, Georgia is the place for you. Georgia is the close but no cigar program right now. If you want to be just short of Alabama, Georgia's obviously going to be the program for you. I mean, you can be a backup quarterback at Alabama and beat Georgia, as both Tua Tagovailoa did in the national championship and Jalen Hurts did in the SEC championship.
Well, so, let's start there then, because we talk a lot about the NFL, and Alabama's got 56 players in the NFL, I believe. I saw the stat too. Georgia is not quite to that level. You're right.
Sure.
Why don't we talk about Alabama quarterbacks at the next level? Can we talk about them? Because
after they've left Tuscaloosa and Coach Saban, yes, let's talk about
it. Let's talk about quarterbacks in the NFL from Alabama.
Sure.
AJ McCarron at last check is a backup. Tua has promised, but, you know, let's be honest, Tua's going to get hurt. Tua always gets hurt. Jalen Hurts counts for Oklahoma at this point. He counts for Oklahoma at this point. So are we hanging our hat
you
on...
You missed a recent first round pick as well. Sorry. Continue.
Mac Jones?
Yes.
Mac Jones hasn't played in the NFL yet. He hasn't played.
No.
He hasn't played. So we don't know anything about Mac Jones.
The NFL checks cash.
We didn't even think Mac Jones should be in the first round on this show.
Well, there he was.
So are we hanging our hat on Greg McElroy and his SiriusXM radio show? What are we going on here? What are we trying to sell to, what's his name? Gunnar Simpson. What are we trying to sell to young Gunnar Simpson that we can paint this portrait for him at Alabama as coming out of college and becoming this NFL superstar at the quarterback position? Because by my from my perspective, who is it? Who's a superstar? Who's the analog?
Well, the NFL draft is a crapshoot. You don't control where you end up. You don't control the coordinator. You don't control the head coach. You don't control the receivers or offensive line in the NFL. What you do control is putting yourself in position in college to make millions of dollars as an NFL player. And when you look at what Georgia quarterbacks have done, Matt Stafford, fantastic. I think he left Athens about 8 years before Kirby Smart showed up. And that's fine. That's totally good. Matt Stafford, great quarterback. The last time Georgia had a first round quarterback make first round money, have first round glory, it was Matt Stafford, was it not?
Matt Stafford was for a period in time, the highest paid rookie in the history of the NFL. And
fantastic. That's first a result
overall
of
pick.
Obviously
first overall
the NFL
pick.
and the cap rules, the CBA, the old CBA that doesn't work like that anymore, as you know. But Alabama players put themselves in position via terrific play in Tuscaloosa to be drafted highly. And that comes with the fact that they are playing behind stellar lines, better than Georgia's lines, and throwing to stellar receivers, four first round receivers these past 2 years, not to mention guys like Calvin Ridley, Amari Cooper, Julio Jones, also first round talents, also making a ton of money, also making quarterbacks' jobs easier at Alabama and in the NFL. You have to go back to how long, Ty? How long do you have to go back to find a first round receiver from Georgia? I believe it's AJ Green.
You have to go back to AJ Green.
You do have to go back to AJ Green. That's, I think it's a decade that you now have to go back. Now, not Kirby Smart's fault that it's been that long, but when you do look at the offensive coordinators that Kirby Smart has put in place to develop quarterbacks, I don't know, you see five-star quarterback after five-star quarterback after five-star quarterback showing up to Athens to put on a Georgia uniform, and we're talking about a transfer back to Washington where he wasn't a superstar and was not a high draft pick in Jacob Eason. Jake Fromm, who was good, and then he was less good, and that's okay. We recruited Jake Fromm here to Alabama. It didn't work out, and he got a great shot at Georgia and led you to a national championship. But, you know, Jim Chaney, James Coley, where have they gone since leaving Georgia? Jim Chaney, Tennessee, and he's now an analyst. And James Coley, I believe, is the tight ends coach at Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. Whereas we have Mike Locksley, we have Lane Kiffin, we have Steve Sarkisian, all Power Five head coaches, guys who have taken this offense to historic highs. Whereas,
I'm sorry, is Gunnar a coach now? Are we trying to recruit Gunnar to come and coach?
I'm telling you who's going to develop Gunnar Simpson.
See, the problem,
I'm telling you, Coach Saban's track record identifying coaching talent.
That's great. Gunner is a quarterback. And yep. if you want to develop as a quarterback, one of the things that might spook you out is that your offensive coordinator changes every freaking year. Every sure. freaking year. It's great for Nick Saban's legacy as the greatest college football coach of all time to know that he could bring in high-priced coordinator talent on a moment's notice. He can assemble the pieces and he can still get his team to the national championship because of level of talent, because of coaching acumen, for sure. That is a feather in his cap. It's something that no one else has really ever done.
Sure.
If I'm Gunnar Simpson, do I want to walk into a situation where the track record sure is that we've had great coordinators here who have gone on to great things, but also the track record is we have a new set of coordinators every freaking year. That doesn't give me the warm fuzzies. Let's talk a little bit about Todd Monken. Let's talk about Todd Monken.
Yeah.
Did you go back and check the SP Plus from 2020 to see what Georgia's offense looked like relative to Alabama's? I know Alabama's was rife with firepower. No question about that.
Historically efficient.
Historically efficient. But Gunnar Simpson, his name is Gunnar for a reason, Dan. Kid likes to throw the ball. We said it at the top. Five-star, ton of arm talent. Not a dual threat guy. He can move, right? He moves around in the pocket.
Sure.
A kid like Gunnar wants to air the ball out. You know where Alabama under Mac Jones ranked relative to Georgia in terms of air yards per pass, the style of play? Have any idea?
Tell me.
Georgia was 10th. No. Georgia was 10th. So when Todd Monken came over, by the way, he came from the NFL. Part of what he was trying to do was build more of a vertically oriented passing game. This was on the heels of the Jake Fromm era, where it was a lot of dink and dunk stuff, and Georgia fans got fed up with that. Monken came in. The intention was to try and stretch the field vertically. Now, he did not have the ability to do that as much with a guy like a Stetson Bennett. It didn't work out. They had the issue with JT Daniels' knee not being cleared until later in the season. But once he was cleared, things started to happen in a really positive way, and we started to see more of that explosive offense. That is what he is selling. That is what he is trying to build. Alabama did a lot of dink and dunk stuff, Dan. A lot of dink and dunk stuff. Mac Jones was very effective when he did throw down the field, no doubt. But the air yard stat proves it out to me. Alabama, as the 90th ranked team in FBS, this is not a team that stretched the field through the air, at least air yards, as much as you would expect. They had great receivers who ran after the catch, for sure. But if you want to come to a school, young Gunner, that likes to air it out and give you the ability to throw the deep ball, let's go to Todd Monken. Let's talk Todd Monken. You know how Todd Monken right now is out there recruiting talent, Dan, while
how's that?
Other schools are talking about meal plans and team gear. I got this from an article, by the way. I don't have any insider knowledge. I got this from SI.com.
Please.
He's getting down to brass tacks with these guys. Brass tacks. Gets in the room with the kids, starts talking about how they could fit into his system, what it's going to be like when they play college football for the Georgia Bulldogs, and it's working. Early returns are very positive on what Monken's been able to do on the recruiting trail. I think if I'm Gunnar Simpson, I like that I've got a guy in Monken who can just tell me straight, how do I fit into the system? What's it going to look like when I come and play as the face of this program? Not what's it going to be like when I get to Tuscaloosa and I have to battle a quarterback room of like 15 other guys.
Sure. No, listen, if you want to build up those air yard stats with JT Daniels against South Carolina and Missouri, and it's fine. It's totally good. If you want to play on that sort of platform and puff your chest out about that, that's totally good. And if you don't want to compete against the best, if you want to tout what you're able to do against 500-ish or below 500 sure. type programs who fire their coaches, totally you're right. Absolutely you're right. But the SEC West is a different story, Ty, as you know. And LSU, it's Texas A&M. There are schools here that are developing defensive players, not just defensive player, not just a guy here, a guy there for one of these SEC East schools. We saw what Florida's defense was able to, or really not able to do these past couple of years. So I get where you're coming from. And when Georgia's down to Stetson Bennett and they don't have JT Daniels available, look, they're coming back a lot. The offense is not pulling up their end of things. I get that. Stetson Bennett has to air it out. What other choice does Georgia have? Whereas Alabama, you know, when you bring in somebody like Steve Sarkisian and he's saying, well, just get it to Najee Harris in a little bit of space. Why overthink it?
Is Steve Sarkisian still at Alabama?
Just no, he's not. He's just another run of Broyles coordinators that keeps getting bigger jobs.
So he won't be there to help develop Bryce Young, even though he was there last year. And then they brought in another guy who is probably just going to look for another head coaching job. Is that what you're saying to me?
Yeah. No, okay. If you can pay for houses and your children's college educations with, I think your term was warm fuzzies, that's great. If Georgia's keeping coordinators around, you know what that means? That means nobody wants your coordinators, Ty. Your coordinators. I mean, again, Jim Chaney and James Coley, are they high-level coordinators somewhere else? Are they head coaches somewhere else? It turns out they're not, Ty. And that's okay. Everybody has their own journey, but they're not. The warm fuzzies are good for some people and results are good for other people. Wearing a baseball hat on the first round night of the NFL draft, that does it for more people, Ty. Warm fuzzy you, that's cool. That's who you're selling right here. Did the coordinator stick around forever? That's totally good. If you want to show up at the facility every day and see the same coaches for 4 years, that's totally good. But in the big leagues, Ty, people come after the best. And it's a matter of what do you do to replace the best with the next best? That's what defines a program. And that's what Alabama keeps doing with the best head coach in college football.
Again, the whole pitch is Nick Saban. It's a good pitch.
It's a great pitch.
It's a good pitch. How do you not admire what Nick Saban's done?
That quarterback has changed, Ty. Nick Saban rolls with the times.
He's a great coach.
What exactly is Kirby Smart doing with 5-star QBs? Again, Jacob Eason, Jake Fromm, Justin Fields. They leave. They do better elsewhere. I don't know what that is, Ty. You tell me. You're the one more familiar with the program.
Well, it seems like
what that is.
It seems like it's a virtue for other programs. We saw it most recently at LSU when they recognize that there is a deficiency and they make a move to try and solve that. And that's what happened, I think, recently when they brought Monken in. They brought JT Daniels over. And I think we started to see some of the returns on that investment towards the latter half of the season. I think we'll see more of it in 2020. Okay. I think Kirby Smart is trying to model the UGA program after Alabama. And he is a younger Saban. You don't have to worry about, let's forget about assistant coaches for a second. What happens if Saban leaves? No offense to the gentleman. He's a great coach, no doubt, but he's 69 years old. What happens when Nick Saban leaves to that program? This is something, if I'm young, if I'm Gunnar Simpson, that I think is a fair question. I don't have to worry about Kirby Smart leaving. He's like 45 years old. He's going to be there forever.
Okay, so Georgia will come up just short forever. I mean, you're trafficking in the hypothetical, which I get. That's Georgia's lot in life. It's always next year. It's always the next 2 years. But the fact is, Alabama's the standard for a reason. Alabama's absolutely the top of the heap for a reason. And Georgia's been to the college football playoff as many times as Michigan State and Washington, right? It's once. One time. Kirby Smart recruiting like a national champion, developing like a pretty good team and showing the results of ultimately, in terms of the end of the season, getting to the college football playoff the same number of times as Michigan State and Washington.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Let me take a knee here for a second.
Okay.
And let me talk to young Gunner.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby Smart, the captain of this ship in Athens, Georgia. He's another Georgia kid, you know. He was born in Alabama, but moved to Georgia as a youth.
Yep.
Was raised there in the southwestern corner of Georgia, down towards the Florida Panhandle. He's another Georgia kid who was interested in Alabama, Dan. He actually went to work there for 8 years. He liked Alabama so much that he moved back to Georgia. All right.
Sure.
This is a guy
who... Great place. Great job.
This is a guy who knows what it's like to go from Georgia to Alabama, liked it enough that he came back. He knows what it takes to win at the level over there in Alabama. He also knows that Georgia's a better place to be geographically. Mm. It's a better place. It's a better college town. It's a better game day atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all about on the field stuff. You also have to have a college experience. So he knows that Georgia's a better academic institution.
Mm.
He knows that there are better traditions at the great state of Georgia, at the university, things like the dog walk, which you don't have at Alabama. You don't have a dog walk at Alabama.
Sure.
How about the cool fourth quarter phone flashlight thing that they do? I don't know what the name is that of that is, by the way. But I know it's better than the weird freaking laser light show that they try to do at Bryant-Denny Stadium.
Sure.
Georgia has a better football, better game day tradition. It's a better place to be. It's a better place to live out your college years. And given the fact that young Gunner Simpson is from the Atlanta suburbs, which I don't know if we mentioned or not. Did we mention that?
Yeah, Metro Atlanta. Yeah.
Why not get all the perks of playing for Alabama without having to move to Alabama, Dan? Play in front of your friends and family. Athens is about an hour and 15 away from Atlanta. So not only do you get access to the great city of Atlanta, great metropolitan area, but you can get a home-cooked meal whenever you want. You also don't have to put your parents out, right? What happens when it comes time to go and watch a game in Tuscaloosa if you live in the Atlanta burbs? Well, in all likelihood, you're taking a plane from Alabama to Birmingham. I don't know what that runs on a college football Saturday or Friday, but I'm guessing it's somewhere north of $300. You can still play in the best conference in college football without having to move to another state, without putting your friends and family out if they want to come and see you. And again, you get all the perks of playing in Alabama without having to move there.
And without the hassle of parents having to pay airfare to go to the college football playoff, right? That's a big selling point. You get to save money because your parents don't have to pay to fly to wherever, you know, LA or Dallas or any of those
unless
places.
They play at the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, in which case
unless
you're,
they play
you're
against
good.
Cincinnati, who is not quite a Power 5 team, but they play like it sometimes. That's pretty cool. You don't get to go away to play in a bowl game, I suppose, if you go to Atlanta. You just get to stay home. Alabama's about a three-hour drive from Atlanta. It's not a big deal. It's the same distance from LA to San Diego. They're not talking about a huge, you know, flight and expenses across the country. 3 hour drive. It's fine. 3 hour drive is nothing. That's two podcasts, Ty. That's nothing. Yeah, all of what you're saying is absolutely true. And I should mention, because you brought up Kirby Smart, knows what it's like to go from Georgia to Alabama. You know who else knows how to go from Georgia to Alabama? The last two Heisman winners from Alabama committed to Georgia, thought it through and said, Roll Tide. Yeah. Derrick Henry and Devontae Smith,
okay,
both committed to Georgia, thought it through and said, I think I'm going to go to Alabama. And college experience is important, Ty. It's super important. Academics is important. The college experience is important. But as our good friend Cardale Jones once pointed out, and then I think later retracted, but it should be noted, he's not going there to play school, right? You're going there to play football.
Right.
And so Alabama offers a ton. And you guys, you can get out of school what you put into it. Barrett Jones. You look at what Barrett Jones was able to do as an All-American center. And the degrees that he got, he put in work academically. He put in work on the football field. And they paid off for him on both levels. Mm-hmm. And so you get what you put in. And that's fine. Alabama offers a ton in terms of academic support, in terms of the college experience. Tuscaloosa is a great time. T-Town, Ty. Mm. Our good friend Andy Staples named the best place to eat in any college football town. Mm-hmm. Any college football town. And he was very loose with that term as well. Mm-hmm. Archibald's Ribs, right outside of Tuscaloosa, Northport, Alabama. The number one meal. Andy Staples has tried them all. Mm-hmm. And he's saying Metro Tuscaloosa. That's the move. I've been to Archibald's, Ty. I myself have pulled up to Archibald's. It's a counter window and a sort of off a house. The smoker sort of connected to the house. It's hidden. There's all the charm in the world. The people there are crazy friendly. The experience is phenomenal. And I've yet to meet a college football player who doesn't enjoy a nice stack of ribs every so often.
That's
Tuscaloosa
fair.
Offers That's fair. It all.
Tuscaloosa also offers that weird seizure-inducing laser light show at the start of a game, which I just can't get. I can't get over.
No, that's okay.
I can't get over that. Good for the ribs. I'm glad that the ribs are great at Archibald's. I'm sure they will treat Gunner well if and when he goes on his official. But
I like that. I mean, again, it's trafficking in the hypothetical. The facilities will be second to none. Well, Alabama's facilities are already there. They have a separate locker room for practice, Ty. A separate locker room for practice. They have, and what do we always say on the show? You're only as comfortable as your
feet.
They have, you can use a little more enthusiasm when the word feet. They have a
feet.
Custom, thank you. They have a custom fit digital foot scale thing that measures the contours of your foot for the proper sizing of your cleat and the proper cleat to wear. Nobody else has it.
You could go to New Balance. They have that machine in the corner. Mm. It does the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's more of a Boston College thing, I've heard at this point, if that's what your focus is going to be. No, you get everything. You get the swoosh. You get Nike. You get everything at Alabama. You get the facilities, second to none already.
Well,
and if you don't like the light show, you don't like the light show, but you got to better get used to the big, bright lights.
Phase,
that's what you're playing under.
Phase one of the facilities renovation just completed, part of an $80 million effort.
Mm-hmm.
By the time phase two is complete, yes, the indoor practice facility will be roughly the size of 35 basketball courts. I did the conversion. But
sure.
In the interim, state of the art, they're just being allowed to see it now because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a ton of excitement about what this is going to mean for the program, how it's going to infuse it with new energy, with new opportunity, with new technology, and hopefully new talent on the arm of young Gunner Simpson.
Sure. I just hope he has someone to throw it to that will be looked at as kindly as Alabama receivers are and continue to be, as Alabama just brought in the 2021 class, the number one class of all time. Mm. Surround yourself with the best. I can't see a downside in that, Ty. And I know people say, well, look, you're sitting behind guys. You're not playing. You're not getting in there. You're not the man. You want to be the face of a program. Great. Honestly, that's wonderful. If you want to be that face right away, Georgia is the school for you.
Thank you.
Because there's a reason why you can be the face right away. You don't have a current face lined up. Maybe it's Brock Vandegraaff. Maybe. Again, we're trafficking hypotheticals, but Alabama, perhaps you're sitting behind somebody for 1, 2, 3 years, as we saw Tua behind Jalen Hurts, as we saw Mac Jones behind Tua. But guess what? They're getting reps at the end of games. They're getting live game reps. They're playing against the best scout team in college football, as Mac Jones was admonished by Nick Saban because he was looking too good and embarrassing Nick Saban's number one defense at that practice too much and had to tone it down. Mm-hmm. Iron sharpens iron, Ty. And yeah. I'm seeing some dull blades on that Georgia offensive field. I just am sometimes. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, I'm just going to revert back to what I said before. You are correct in saying that Georgia does not have as many players in the NFL as Alabama. It's by a pretty wide margin. Kirby Smart is building that. He is building that juggernaut. There is no doubt in college football circles that eventually he's going to get there. What I can tell you is that they are recruiting very well at the receiver position. What I can tell you is that there is a very recent track record of developing running backs. So you can be the man without having to have it all on your arm. You have some support. There are 9 offensive linemen from Georgia playing in the NFL. Most recently, Andrew Thomas, a very high draft pick by the New York Giants. Mm-hmm. So they are starting to ramp this machine up. And if you are young Gunnar Simpson, if you want to be the face of a program, as you said, Georgia is the place for you because we are looking for individuals, for talent who can come in, be the face of the dynasty and not a plug and play puzzle piece at a school like in Alabama. We want you to be part of something. We want you to help define your legacy and ours by stepping foot on campus during this time of transformation.
Yeah, and it should be pointed out, Georgia's legacy is not beating Alabama since 2007. Ty, how old were you in 2007? Were you 25? Were you in your damn early to mid-20s in 2007? Is my math correct?
I'm abstaining from comment.
Okay, so you're 25 years old, 2007. You look at the box office. Let's see, Alabama loses in overtime in Nick Saban's first year to Georgia, overtime by 3 points. Mm-hmm. Georgia up 10 points in the fourth quarter and gave that lead away and managed to sneak away with a win. You look at the box office. You want to know two of the stars of the late September 2007 box office, Ty? Mm-hmm. Dane Cook and Amanda Bynes. Good luck, Chuck and Sidney White. Hanging around the top
of
the box
office. How do we end up
on
Dane Cook?
I'm just telling you, when you look at the last time Georgia was truly able to get over the hump against Alabama, 2007. Mm. 2007. Nick Saban's very
was
first
Kirby,
year playing
was Kirby,
with players he did not recruit.
Was Kirby Smart coaching that team for Georgia?
Kirby Smart was not. I'm just telling you the place in college football. Perception is reality, Ty. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you. And It's been a long time. The Georgia brand is due. It's due for its refresh. It's due to get over the hump. It's due to get the monkey off of its back. But Alabama's the back, Ty. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, you hold yourself to a standard. That's how you've gotten this far in life, Gunnar Simpson.
Yeah.
You're coveted by everybody.
This is the first time you said his name. The first time. If you're trying to recruit him, you need to say his name often. FYI.
Mm, I see. Look, you have to pull out all of the Michael Scott tricks. I get it. I get it. If you're Georgia, you have to do all of those things, but we're just talking like people here. Mm-hmm. So I think it's clear. I think the case is clear. I mean, I certainly don't want to be in your position because recruiting against Alabama, it's tough. Now, maybe it's a distance thing. Maybe it's a familiarity thing. Maybe it's I think the girls are cuter or something here at Georgia. I get all of those things. And you should select a college for why you want to select a college. You want to go where it feels home.
Right.
Well, Alabama feels home to a lot, feels like home to a lot of NFL draft picks, a lot of people that are running out of fingers to put their championship rings. And there's a reason for that. There just is. And it's up to you to see it in my eyes and everybody you see in their eyes in Tuscaloosa. And I think Gunnar will. I absolutely think Gunnar will because reality is reality, Ty. And once again, the Michigan State and Washington of the college football playoff.
Interesting.
Yeah. Any other points you'd like for me to address?
Georgia ranks about 100 spots better than Alabama, according to, those college rankings.
What, Capital One Bowl Weekly?
That was good. That's funny. That's very funny. That's good. I like that.
Thank you. Yeah, no problem.
No, U.S. News and World Reports.
Oh, okay. Academics.
About 100 spots better.
Okay.
Athens has been voted time and again one of the best college towns in America. The median age is 28, which is about 2 years younger. Mm-hmm. And Tuscaloosa, so it's very much a college town. You know,
I'm not recruiting poet laureates here, Ty. Recruiting signal callers.
You know that I've got a bit of history up at State College, Pennsylvania. Athens is about as close to State College as I've ever found. It's a town that very much feels run by the student body.
Mm-hmm.
True college town. Come
For
be
sure.
part of a new tradition that Kirby Smart is trying to build. He is building it very much in the image of Nick Saban, but he's doing so in a younger, in a more modern way. He's doing it on the other side of the same conference. And if you, Gunnar Simpson, step foot on this campus, you will still get, hopefully, your crack at Alabama at least once a year. In the SEC title game, and maybe more. You'll still get your chance to beat the best, to help define a new legacy, a new chapter, a new era of Georgia Bulldogs football, and be the face of this program and go on to aspire to great things at the next level. That Definitely. Is my pitch.
Who had the best game for Georgia in the SEC championship game this year? Who was it that you would like point to, be like, you could be this type of player in the SEC championship game from 2020? Kyle Trask? Kadarius Toney? Who are we talking about here?
I told you my pitch is over. I'm done.
I see. I'm done. Okay.
I'm done. And when I'm going out on a high note, I'm out.
Ty. I thought you did a great job.
Thank you.
I mean, you had the more difficult position. You chose it. You chose to represent Georgia. I gave you the choice. You went with Georgia. I thought you did a very good job. I probably would have sold Athens more. Athens is a fantastic place.
See, here's my issue.
Yeah. You can eat well. You can do all sorts of outdoor stuff.
Here's my issue.
You have people from high school that, you know, you immediately have a bunch of friends because you're from Georgia, and obviously there's going to be some in-state element to it.
Does Gunnar Simpson, being from the Atlanta burbs, need someone to sell him on Athens? I feel like for him, Athens sort of sells itself because he's clearly familiar with it. What he's, I'm guessing, not as familiar with is the inner workings and the machinations of the football program, because anybody can go to Athens, go to a game and walk around campus and experience the dog walk and those sorts of things. But let's take them inside the spaceship, as they've called it, that landed and is now the indoor practice facility. Let's take them inside the facilities to see what it's actually like to be part of the football team. So I didn't sell it. I'm also, frankly, just not as strong on that topic as you might be. So I can sell the football. I can look into it and I can see where things are trending in that world. But I was trying to play to my strengths here as a recruiter.
No, I get you. No, I just think Athens is fantastic and the campus is beautiful. There is, I think, a poultry sciences building on the University of Georgia.
That's right.
You're into that. Both campuses have Chick-fil-A's. I think Georgia's, Alabama's is, but Georgia's has Chick-fil-A Express. I don't know what that means. It looked like a standard Chick-fil-A in the Union.
Penn State's got one too. I think everyone's got one at this point.
Chick-fil-A is all over the place. No, but it's important. It absolutely is important. You can get great food in Athens. You can have a great life in Athens. And look, if you want to go home to do laundry, you're right. You did hit the distance thing. You're about an hour 15 away from Metro Atlanta, depending. Traffic can be quite terrible in Atlanta, though, so you never know. But Alabama's not, you know, it's not across the country. It's 3 hours. So it's a good selling point. It's not the best selling point. And I think you can add that, you know, Brock Vandegrift. I mean, Georgia has recruited at quarterback very well, so it's not like you need to step in right away. You can be behind Brock. You can be behind whoever. So Georgia has their own thing.
Yeah.
But
well, look, two...
I'm trying to think, how else would I have sold Georgia?
Two great schools. Any way you shake it, two great SEC schools. Yeah. Have we given any thought to what our next matchup might be?
I think we got to go to the Big Ten.
Okay. Do we want to do Ohio State, Michigan? Do we want to do... Is that too obvious?
No, it's not. It's not bad. I mean, my assumption is Michigan has recruited the last few years. Have they recruited better than Penn State, right along with Penn State?
I mean, I feel
it's
like...
They're both difficult in terms of... It depends the position we choose. I think we should go defense on the next episode.
I think it needs to... If we're staying in the spirit of true recruiting rivalries within conference.
Right.
The biggest rivalry in college football is Ohio State, Michigan. We'd be remiss if we did not pick that one.
Is Michigan Ohio State's biggest? They're not, probably not Ohio State's biggest national rival in terms of recruiting only, right? Ohio State's biggest national rival is probably
Clemson, Alabama, Georgia.
Alabama, Clemson. Yeah, somewhere in there. They're competing for the top of the class.
But if we keep
it in the Big Ten,
if we keep it within the Big Ten, I mean, Penn State has honestly been a little stronger in terms of recruiting, I think, in recent years.
Right.
So if we want to do Ohio State, and we should, and if we want to keep it in conference, and we should, it's either Michigan or Penn State. I'll let you pick.
Well, you're already sort of leg up in terms of research on Penn State.
Right. Why don't we do Michigan then? Why don't we keep it fair?
Okay. Let's do Michigan, Ohio State. And you can, if you want to choose Ohio State, choose Ohio State. That's totally fine. That's obviously the much easier selling job.
Well, I had Georgia, which was a bit of a dog and underdog in this fight.
Sure.
Why don't I take Ohio State next time and you take Michigan?
Done.
Okay. This went better than I thought. If I'm being honest with you,
right?
This went better than I thought.
I really did look up Case Keenum's salary numbers.
I have Matt Stafford's salary here. He made so much money.
Well, Matt Stafford should make a lot of money. He's a really good NFL quarterback.
I know, but that's a lot of money.
Right? He's been really good for a long time. Not the best, but really good.
He got in under the wire before, as you said, they changed the rule, but not before.
He was the last guy, right?
Sam Bradford was the last guy.
Oh, Sam Bradford. Okay.
They changed it after Sam Bradford, which is probably a good move. So, all right, look, this is fun. What are we calling this, by the way? Did we determine what we're calling this? I'm going to play the music one more time.
It's a pretty good theme. I'm looking at Michigan's recruiting ranks since 2017. It's 2017 number two. They just kind of went 2-3 with Penn State every year behind Ohio State. 2019 Michigan was, it says 2019 Michigan had the best class in the Big Ten. Is that true?
I don't know.
Can
you're looking
true?
At it. Maybe.
National rank. Was that when? How can this be? I'm looking Michigan number 8. Where did Ohio State finish? They finished number 14. That must have, they had a small class. I see. Ohio State 91.87. 91.87 was their average recruit. Michigan's was 90.7. So Michigan just had a bigger class and also a really good class. So I guess Ohio State's guys had the higher average. It's okay. They were competitive. They've had really strong classes. So I'll go Michigan, you go Ohio State. What did you just ask me?
What are we calling this?
Oh, what are we calling it? Recruiting something, recruiting wars.
You used to do a sports pitch. Wars. Do we want to go recruiting
I did do
wars?
Sports wars. Recruiting wars, college pitch. I don't know. You tell me, Ty. You tell me what.
We'll figure it out after
the page
this.
More
People
for
don't
you.
Need okay. to listen to this part. This is
behind
the scenes
sell.
Type stuff.
The hard sell.
Perfect. Perfect.
Pretty good.
Hard sell.
So hard sell Georgia versus Alabama, or hard sell : SEC powers.
All right. Well, thank you to one and all for listening to our debate. The next step for you is to go on out to social media, going out to our Twitter, to our Facebook, to our Instagram, and let us know who won.
Yeah. Who is more convincing? Not
more persuasive.
Not the better choice. Not your own opinion that Georgia is a better place to go than Alabama, or Alabama's a better place to go to than Georgia. But who
more persuasive.
Gave you the hard sell and was more persuasive? Yeah.
You can also email in solidverbal@gmail.com. If you have more to get off your chest, don't forget to go to our website, solidverbal.com. When you're there, you can sign up for our newsletter. Just scroll down a little bit, look for the big old yellow block. All you need to do is give us your email address and you will get on the list. We're going to start sending that out at some point here in the next couple months. And don't forget, social media internship now available. submissions@solidverbal.com. Write in, let us know if you're interested, if you've got some experience in that world and you would like to help out the team. That's all I got, Dan.
I think I was more dickish. I think I definitely, now that I think about it, that might have turned some people off. But that's nothing new.
That really isn't. No.
For me.
It's not.
Okay.
For that guy over there, my good friend, as always, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrand, thank you so much for downloading, for listening, for supporting the show. We will talk to you all next week. In the meantime, stay safe. Have a good weekend. Stay solid.
Peace.